and chain. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it in dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died, and pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Sunday. So the call to worship is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is
good.
Always good. His love endures forever, for he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Have you come thirsty or hungry today? Oh, Curtis, you already ate. Right? But we're talking spiritual hungry, spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst. Hope you've come that way today. Carry on.
In his time, in his time, all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way that you do just what you say in your time. In your time. All things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your
time. Announcements this morning are a few, but some of you on Zoom, I hear it's your birthday. Scott I get Cherry and Barry mixed up. But it's Barry. Scott Barry, happy birthday to you. And there is Lavina, all the way out in Montana. She is related to Norma. And she's having, well, she fell down. Lavina, what were you doing on top of your house? That was your first mistake. You should have asked someone else to go up there for you, but she fell off and she's hurt herself and she's in a home in Montana. And so special greetings to you from all the way from Iowa, Lavina. We'll pray for you before we're done here, if I don't forget. Just want to ask you, did you miss that hour of sleep? We'll see who's going to come at the end of the service today. And we'll go like, guess you didn't set your clocks ahead, did you? Didn't spring forward. Glad that you are here today, no matter where you have come from. We're glad that you could be in here to join us as we worship the Lord together and we serve Him. And so just some of the announcements, I want to let you know that I think Karen has an announcement she wants to make, and I'm going to get the mic. So Karen, come on up. Well, you can stay there. I can bring it to you. She has an announcement. I think I know what it might be. Here you go, Karen.
I don't know how many Clarkies are out there, but they play at 11 o'clock. And so the three pianists have made an executive decision that we need to be home at 11 o'clock to see the Iowa girls play. Oh. So we're going to have choir on Wednesday night at 5:45, which is better anyway because Lynn will be here. She's never be able to be here on Sunday. 5:45 Wednesday night, and the choir gets to eat first. So we're going to have choir at 5:45 for the next two Wednesday nights, because the next Wednesday night, both of the pianists are going to be gone or something. Oh, well, anyway, we're going to have choir 5:45, two Wednesday nights in a row, and the choir gets to eat first. Okay?
So there's no choir today.
No choir today.
Because of Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
I can't understand why. I believe that I got to know Caitlin because of Orville when he was around here, because he just loved watching her too. So Bonnie, it's because of Orville. He got me hooked on her as well. So no choir today. We have to go home and watch basketball. Tough stuff.
But.
I better go in here real quick. Tuesday we have women's Bible study that started meeting here last Tuesday at 9:30. Just all ladies can be a part of that. 9:30 Tuesday morning. This Wednesday, because of spring break, there is no school, which means there's no Joy Kids. There's no confirmation either. But we are going to have supper at 5:15. The choir will be first to eat, and then they're going to practice or whatever, however they do that. And then we'll have our Lenten service at 6:30 as well. Thursday, if you can't be in choir here on Wednesday, you can meet with Lynn Kelling for choir practice. If you need some help or go over some of the one song that you're singing, that's at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning. And then Friday, there's an ecumenical service here at Harbor of Joy where John and Julie Battern will be here. He'll be speaking. And what is it? Is that the name of the song they're singing? In His Time? Or in His?
Live for Him.
Oh, Live for Him. That's close.
It's not just for women.
Right. That's what I got here. It's not just for women. Men, you are invited to be a part of the ecumenical service as well. Karen is providing the potluck afterwards. Just want you to know that.
So.
Oh, Dean is? Oh, okay. I knew you'd be involved somehow with that. Just keep that in mind. And also just want you to know that today at 4:30 at the Well in Spirit Lake, Maria is going to be talking about her recent mission trip to Tanzania, Africa at the Well in Spirit Lake. And there is a women's luncheon. There is a sign-up sheet on the refrigerator in the kitchen if you haven't signed up. One thing I didn't say in here, it says for seniors, you get a special deal, this, at the Pizza Ranch for $12.99. I don't know if that's good, but that's a buffet. I can get anything you want, go back as many times as you want, I guess, because you all are big eaters, I'm sure. But $12.99 is what it costs. So if you want to go to that, please sign up. And if you got questions about that, you can talk to any of the ladies that have gone before. I think Kathy Vermes is the one that kind of set this all up. So, and Pat? Is it you? Yeah. Or Kathy? Don't talk to Pat. She's grouchy because she missed an hour of sleep this morning. Well, that's all the announcements, but I do want to have a word of prayer as we begin back to our praise band as well. Heavenly Father, we come to you because we're mindful of Levina. We know that falling off of a roof cannot be the best thing. And whatever she is dealing with, you know what it is. And so we just pray for her. We lift her up to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are there with her. You can bring the healing that needs to be healed, whatever has taken place. And we pray the same, Lord, too, for Pat Knutson, who fell over, but no broken bones for her. She's just kind of home walking slow, and we just pray that the swelling will go down and that she'll be able to walk around like she normally would do. So we're just grateful for your protection over her as well. And be with the rest of our service today. We thank you for everyone that is here, those that are watching by Zoom, and may you just use this time in all that is said and done for the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Responsive reading begins this way. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
If my people who are called by my name will pray and seek my face.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, you know, there's a combination here of scripture as well as the chorus to the battle hymn of the republic. If you didn't catch on to that, it's kind of combined the two there. So glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. May it continue to do so as well. Continue on, praise band.
Son, no sin too high, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I have the holy Lamb of wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed. Wash me in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb.
Praise band may be seated. Thank you for sharing with us your gifts, song, and instruments. If I didn't know better, I think today would be like the first Sunday in January. It's called Cannonball Sunday. No matter where you shoot the cannon, you won't hit anybody. But glad that you're here today. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word here this morning. It comes to us from John chapter 11. No, John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. John 3, 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly, and what he has done done through God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that you've given to us. They're good words. They're to make things plain and clear for what we need to know and what we need to believe. And may that be what takes place here today. If they have not already been believable, may today be that day that we go like, I see what's important here to God. And it deals with me. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We have the one verse in the Bible today that sums up the entire 66 books in the Bible. And you know which one that is? There it is, yeah. That's the one verse. If you don't know this verse, this is a good one to memorize. It's a good one to always hold on to. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He did this for you and for me. And so it's the one you would often see at sometimes sporting events. People hold up John 3:16 if it's on the football stadium, if it's at a basketball stadium. It's one of the very important verses that is always, it just kind of sums up the entire Bible. If people look at it and go like, oh, I've never read that verse before, or maybe they know what it is. It just is an encouragement to them as they see it that someone is there trying to make it known that God loves them. And that's good to know, isn't it? God loves you. Sometimes I see that on the billboard coming into Milford. It says, God loves you. And I wonder how many people drive by and don't even see it, or if they do see it, they don't even pay much attention to it. But it's very important for us to know that God loves you. In the beginning of our text, and it's John that is writing this, and he's the one that is often referred to as the one who was loved by Jesus. Sometimes his name's not mentioned, but he's like the beloved one of the Lord. It was this John who sat next to Jesus at the table at the Last Supper. Sat right next to him. So he was a close friend of our Lord Jesus. And what he starts out with here, he compares what's taking place here by Jesus Christ with, goes back into the Old Testament, goes back to the time of Moses, and you'll find it in Numbers. The book of Numbers in chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, it's when the bronze snake was lifted up on Moses' staff. And anyone who got bit by a poisonous snake, now remember, it is the Lord who sent poisonous snakes to bite these people because they were being judged by God, and he sent snakes. How many of you like snakes? I don't. Oh, you do? Oh, Rick, I have to talk to you. But snakes, venomous. And the people, the reason why the snakes were sent, the poisonous snakes were sent, the venomous ones, was because the people were saying, they were complaining. Is that unusual? Things haven't changed much since then. But the people here were complaining. They said, why did you bring us out to this place? There's no bread for us to eat. There's no water. I mean, that's not true. And then there's manna every morning that the Lord provided for them. And they said that the manna even that they were getting was detestable to them. They hated the manna. And they're complaining against, they complained against God and they complained against Moses. And so God said, okay. How would you like to get bit by a snake? And God sent the snakes and bit people. And Moses prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, we got to do something here because people are getting bit by these poisonous snakes. That means some of them are dying. Some of them have died. And the Lord said to Moses, okay, tell them that whoever gets bit, all they have to do is look at the snake that is held up on the staff. And what will happen? They won't die. They'll be healed. All they have to do is look at the staff with the snake on it. How simple can that be? Do you think there were some who didn't look at the staff with the snake on it? Possible. We can be that stubborn. We can be so blinded by our unbelief that even if someone would say that, we go like, I don't believe you and I'm not going to do that. John tells us about this incident that took place, and we find the promise that God gave to them as well. He always, you know, sometimes would start with judgment to prove a point, but then he always would say, but there's a way in which you do not have to die. Just look at the snake on the staff, and you'd be healed. You would not die from being bit by a poisonous snake, a venomous snake. And so John makes the comparison. He goes, it's just like looking at Jesus. If a person believes in him and trusts in him and receives him into their lives, because salvation is a gift and a gift has to be received. If people just look to Jesus because he's going to be lifted up, not on a staff, but he's going to be lifted up on a cross and die there because he loves you. And he loves me. The danger here is this. You can believe what I just said to you in your head, but it's not in your heart. That's the danger. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you heard a message about Jesus? And you kind of go like, I heard this one before. But it's never really sunk down into your heart. It should touch your life in such a way. You just kind of shake your head and go, I can't believe that God would love us this much. But that's what God is told. I mean, his attribute that we find in the scriptures is what? God is love. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that fully, but I'm sure glad that he is that way. You're not going to find any other God on this planet that loves you as much as the God we find here in the Bible. And here's the verdict. John goes on, he says, that we love darkness rather than light. Think on that for a little bit this morning. God came to give us the light in his Son, Jesus Christ, and yet we don't want to have anything to do with him. We would rather walk in darkness. Darkness is always referred to as being sinful. It talks about our old nature that all of us have. We were born with an old nature that is against God. It always has been. And the old nature will always go, it'll gravitate towards the dark, towards sin. That's just the way we are. So we need a new nature, and that only comes to us as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. We received his gift of salvation, what he did for us on the cross, and it said that the Holy Spirit gives us a new nature, and that's what we really need, because the new nature, guess what that responds to? The new nature always moves towards the light, towards good things. And the light will do two things. We always think of truth as being light, but light will do two things. It will expose your behavior so that you can hide your face, because you know that you have been exposed. You're guilty. You're ashamed. But light will do that. It will expose your sinfulness. It will also then attract you to come towards the light. Now we see this in a variety of ways. I kind of look at something very practical that we see. If you kick over a board or a rock that has been laying on the ground for a long time, what happens as soon as you turn it over? What lives underneath that rock or that board or some kind of bugs? Could be a beetle. Could be a centipede. But as soon as you turn that over, what do? Because the light hits them. They disappear. They look for a place to go where it's dark. We're like that too. We don't like to be exposed to our sin. We don't want to admit that we're wrong or what we say or have done. We're like those bugs. The light it exposes, we hide. Same way that Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden when sin came into the world. When God showed up, they hid. Well, we look at how about light? What kind of lights get your attention? If you look in your rearview mirror as you're driving and you see some red lights or blue lights flashing behind you, what do? Does it get your attention? Or do you look at your speedometer right away? If you got an emergency vehicle, it could be a fire truck, it can be an emergency vehicle, an ambulance. You see the lights, and you know something is not good. The lights get your attention. if you are a good citizen, if you see the lights and you see them coming towards you, what do? You pull over to the side of the road and you stop until they go by, either if they're coming your way or if they're behind you. If it's a policeman, you better stop, especially if he does not go around you. He wants you to stop. In a practical way, when you turn on your outside light in the summertime, do you notice anything about the outside light? There's a bunch of things flying around that light. Light attracts. If you turn the light off, you know, they'll all go away. But as soon as you turn that light on, you've got millers, you've got anything that's mosquitoes, you've got anything flying around, they'll be attracted to that light. Let me throw this out there. Why are bars so dark? I mean, there's enough light in there to know how to get around, but why are they dark? It's because people are more comfortable in the dark, thinking that no one can really see them, or they cannot see them as good, or they can hide a little bit. I just find that just, I wonder why it's like that. But it's appeasing to the old nature that we have. Evil becomes bolder over time. And if it's not dealt with in the beginning, it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, to the point where it will not even want to be told that it's wrong to do. You'll come up with excuses. Because the old nature hates to be told that what you just said or what you just did is wrong. The old nature hates that. The new nature will take in another direction. The new nature will say, admit it. Ask for forgiveness. And work it out. I love you, I care for you, because that's what Jesus did for us, isn't it? He died for us first to show how much he loved us and loves us. And we need his new nature as he lives in us to accomplish what the new nature desires to do. The new nature is always on the God side, always on God's side. I didn't always have the new nature. I had no idea what it even was. I just knew that when Jesus became my Savior and Lord, I looked at things a whole lot different than I did before. There's a change that takes place. I think I've told you this before. I hated old people. It was probably because I had to go to my grandpa and grandma's place when I was a little kid. I'd get dropped off there, and I knew what that meant. When I got dropped off there, it meant I was stuck. And I just started resenting old people. But when I got saved, I started liking old people. And it's a good thing, because I would not be your pastor if I didn't like old people. I would not have gone to see people in nursing homes or tell them about Jesus in places that I would have said, I don't want to go there. But I was asked to go there and did the services. Even had one person write out a check and gave it to me after the service. I looked at it and it was for $1 million. Of course, he did that with everybody. I go, this doesn't mean anything. Threw it away. But the helpers there, the staff said, yeah, he gives that. He writes checks out to everybody who comes to see him. So I had to tell him, This was not a $1 million visit. But God always brings light. And we find in John 19, chapter 3, verse 19, that light has come into the world. That's Jesus who came into the world. God sent us his Son. But men love darkness instead of the light. It's a sad, sad verse. But it's true. We don't like the light in our old nature. And God knew that, and he had to come and bring and give us the light that would take his Son to go to the cross and die there for you and for me. Thankfully, he rose again from the dead like he said he was going to do, like he did. We celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. It's going to be, we call it Easter. That's coming up. I don't know why this happens, but have you ever been to a church, a different church, and sometimes they turn the lights down during the service? And I'm going like, what's this? We're not here to be entertained or see better, but sometimes they do it because they got a projector on the screen or something up on the wall. I don't know. But I've been to churches where there's no reason other than to make people feel comfortable. And I'm going, you're in a church. What do you turn the lights down so low for? It's just the front is lit up where you can see the pastor up there or the musicians. But keep the lights on high. We're here to worship the Lord. We're not going back to where we're supposed to feel comfortable. You should feel uncomfortable when you come to church or when you leave or something. But if you feel uncomfortable, it's because the Holy Spirit is working somewhere in your life. That's good. That's a good sign. But God always brings light. Wherever there is truth, there's light. Whoever knows the truth and sees and loves the light, only God can help you to see that. Now remember, what is the first thing that God said that we find in the book of Genesis? Actually, it's in chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. The world was what? It was formless, and it was dark. And the first thing that God did in creation was, on the very first day, he said, let there be light. And there was. And God then said what? Bad idea? I got to start all over. God said, and it was good. Light is good. Jesus said in the New Testament in John 8, 12, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is claiming to be God. I am the light of the world. And again, Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no wiggle room there. It's Jesus or it's nothing. God wants us to see plainly the truth. He wants us to see the light. How many people have said, I finally saw the light? Johnny Cash even sang that song, I think. I saw the light. I'm going to close on going back to John 3:16 to put it in a more personal way. And maybe it's someone here today needs to hear this. John 3:16, in making it more personal, this is how we can say it. For God so loved, and you just insert your name. Go ahead and say your name to yourself or out loud. You're Lutheran, so it'll be to yourself. For God so loved, insert your name, that God gave his one and only Son, and that's Jesus Christ, to insert your name. He gave you his Son. And if you believe in Jesus, insert your name, say your name, you shall not perish. You won't die. You won't go to hell. But, insert your name, will have eternal life. That makes it more personal. Because God is talking to you personally this morning. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. If it wouldn't be for God doing what he did, we'd have no hope. We'd have no hope. But he came to give us hope, and he sent us his Son. Just think that he left heaven, that would have to be light, and he came down to this earth, into the darkness, to bring hope and light to us all. And if that wasn't enough, he had to die on the cross for us because we could not do it ourselves. It had to be a perfect lamb. Jesus was that perfect lamb, sinless, and died in our place. He took our place that we may have hope and have eternal life in him. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a great verse, Romans 8:1. With Jesus, we're not condemned. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to save you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so simple, and yet we make it hard. And when we make it hard, it's all because of pride that we have in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own lives. It's just pride. And pride is never any good. But pride is what keeps us from going to the light, keeps us from doing what we know what we need to do and what we ought to do, even when it's hard. But that's what the new nature will do. Empowers us to rise above the darkness and to bring us into the light that brings glory to you. So Lord, use this morning as only you can, as we just think of that one verse of John 3:16. Maybe we think about the bronze snake that was lifted up on the staff. And what was the reason for that bronze snake? It was because of the venomous snakes that God sent, because people were complaining and said some very bad things about God, about you, Lord, and even about Moses. It was pride that was even there. So, Lord, only you can break the pride within us or help us to see it when maybe we've never seen it before and to realize that we need Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. And that we live for him. We're a servant. We're a disciple. that follows him. So help us to be more like him, because we can't do that without your help in our lives and in our hearts. So we just ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we will close by singing Day by Day. I'll help you sing it, because I know it's probably new for many of you, but this will be our benediction as we leave here today in this song. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, a pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promise. Go in peace and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.